Got Your Ears On is brought to you by Tactical Legion Knives. Live from the campus of Top Radio, under the direction of Guido, Scoot, and Johnson, it's the pride of podcasting. It's Got Your Ears On.
Hey everybody, Johnson here with you on this week's Got Your Ears On. We're going to throw it back to our interviews with Josh Groudon and Rex Sunahara when they stopped by the show. So check it out, and we'll be back next week with a brand new episode. Everybody have a good week. You're listening to Got Your Ears On.
All right, we're really excited to have Josh Groudon on the show. Big 12 all team honorable mention for special teams player of the year. Congrats on that, Josh. Thanks for joining us, man. We really appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me.
So, how did you get from playing Australian rules football over to playing American as a punter? I mean, is there some sort of like Australian portal that that you guys use, or how'd that all work out?
Yeah, so after my time playing Australian rules football ended, I took up punting with a program called Pro Kick Australia. They're based out of Melbourne, and they've been sending Australians over for years to play college football, and then there's some in the NFL now as well. So I did that for almost a year, and then got placed at LSU.
Yeah, and then you did three seasons. Well, you were redshirted at LSU for a season, and then came here to finish off your last year of eligibility. Man, you came into Morgantown hot. Like, you came in like with like 2 or 3 weeks before the season. How did that all work out? What happened there?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So after I graduated from LSU in May, you know, I got my degree, and I was kind of like looking, you know, ahead to just my future. And I wanted to kind of go back and go play professional Australian rules football again, because, you know, at a young, like, you know, I'm not getting any younger. Like, you kind of, it's either now or never to go back. Yeah. So I was talking to some teams back there, not really getting any interest. And then my punting coaches from Australia were like, they were sending a guy to West Virginia, and then he just pulled out at the last minute. So hence why I came in hot, because when they suggested, hey, do you want to go to West Virginia? And I eventually decided, you know what, let's do it. You know, it was like halfway through camp, so...
Yeah, no, it was pretty crazy, but it was good for Pro Kick to do that, to help and, you know, keep that relationship too with West Virginia and the schools here in the States. So
yeah, exactly, helped out with that. Yeah.
So you spent those years at LSU. You came to Morgantown. I'm sure everybody is always like, you know, talks about your accent and trying to understand you. But really, what people want to know is which accent was harder? Was the Louisiana accent harder for you to understand, or the West Virginia accent harder for you to understand?
I think Louisiana, when you got people like Coach O, you know, it's very, very difficult. Not as strong a twang up here, I don't think.
Yeah. I mean, you had it. Coach O's got that, you know, thick Cajun accent, and you got, you know, Coach Brown has the sort of, you know, Kentucky Southern accent.
Yeah. At all.
That's crazy. And then, but you got recruited, or when you first got to LSU, you were there with Les Miles. How cool was it to see him and beat him at the Kansas game?
Yeah, no, that was really cool. Pretty special to, you know, just kind of come full circle with two different teams to play against each other. And then, you know, we got to chat after the game and like catch up for a little bit. So it was pretty special.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy. I've been watching some of that show that was on ESPN with him, and he's just his whole process is interesting.
Yeah, no, it's quirky, but you know, I love him. I'm so thankful for what he did for me to bring me over from Australia. So
you kick left footed, which is not super common here in the States. Right. Can you kick either way? Can you kick right footed as well?
Well, so back playing footy in Australia, yes, like we would use both feet, obviously one more dominant than the other. But then when I took up punting, you know, like I was just focused on, you know, left foot. So if like there was a bad snap and I had to like pick it up off the ground and just throw it on like on my right foot, then, you know, it'd get away with maybe a 30 to 40 yarder. But no, just generally just stick with the dominant foot in punting.
Cool. So you're in your last couple days in West Virginia and in the States, really. You're heading back home soon. You had your first pepperoni roll the other day, you said. I saw that on Twitter. Country Club Bakery from my hometown, Fairmont.
Yep.
What'd you think?
Oh, I loved it. So it was not what I was expecting. I was thinking more of a cheesy, deep-fried type thing, like super greasy. And then when I saw it, I was like, oh, damn. And then I tried. I was like, oh, this is awesome. So tried one and put some cheese and heated it up in it, for another one, and still got a couple more left. So looking forward to having them, to be honest.
That's awesome. That's great. So Country Club Bakery is great. We're friends with the owner there. They're good people. So that's awesome.
Yeah. No, they're really nice. They gave me an extra one because it was my first time. So
nice. That's awesome, man. So Aussie Rules football, you played that professionally for a couple of years. Question is who's tougher? Are the back pockets and fullbacks in Aussie Rules tougher than offensive or defensive linemen? What do you think?
Oh, I mean, we don't wear pads or helmets, so that's one thing.
Yeah, that's pretty tough. Pretty tough.
Yeah. No. So yeah, I'd like to think us Aussies they're a bit more hard nosed.
Are you planning to play when you get back? Are you gonna try to play some Aussie Rules when you get back?
No, I mean, if I do, it'd be just for fun. Nothing on the level that I used to play. Still thinking about continuing on with with punting maybe in the CFL and stuff. So I might go back to Australia and train with my guys at Pro Kick. And maybe come over back to Canada and try that. But yeah, things are kind of up in the air at the moment. Not really sure exactly what I'm going to do next.
Yeah, have you been approached or talked to any professional teams?
No, I've just been, my coaches at ProKick have been talking to, the general CFL association about, the combine, the tryouts. And because, there's a few other Australian punters who have just graduated and looking for what to do next. So we'll see what happens.
So you had a great season in Morgantown. Got to kick a lot. I mean, I know that for you, that's a great thing. For the team, maybe not as great. But couple of awesome plays, including that pass, that fake punt. What happened there?
That was awesome. Ever since I over and, had Coach Miles, we would run fakes all the time. In practice, but I never got to run one in the game. So to come here and in my last year finally get one, I was stoked. That was that particular play we'd been practicing for a few weeks and just, waiting for the right time and situation in the game. And then it just so happened it was against Oklahoma. And yeah, just pretty cool, pretty special that Pat McAfee did his commentary on it. So just to make it a little worthwhile. That's cool.
And then a couple weeks later, you got to meet Pat at the Baylor game. I saw your video. Yeah, that was how was that?
Yeah, awesome. Definitely a highlight for me of the year, just to meet, pretty much every punter's idol. Yeah. Just a great guy. So yeah, yeah. Really cool.
And he was appropriately dressed for that interview I saw as well.
Yes, he was. Yeah.
With the Anchorman outfit. Also this season, you got to play against TCU, last game of the season, last game for your college career. You played against Jordy Sandy, who is also an Australian punter. Did you know him?
Yeah, I had met him a couple of times. He'd come over on a trip. They do a Pro Kick tour of America. And I'm pretty sure I met him then when he was traveling through, they came through LSU. But yeah, I got to play against maybe five other Australians throughout the year, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, you guys are taking the States by storm in the college football world.
Yeah.
And but that TCU game, man, you laid out a couple of good punts, including that one in the fourth quarter that pinned him, down the 2-yard line, I think.
Yeah. So, I mean, had one return to the house against us. So it was kind of that return was good. So, okay, try and keep it away from him, kick it out of bounds. So pretty happy that my final ever kick in college was, 45 yards outside, out of bounds at the 2. So a good way to end up, especially after you get a touchdown against you. But and then to get the win in the last game was just awesome.
Another food question for you here. Again, okay. I'm sure these are the ones that everybody, cares about. Outback Steakhouse, right? That's most Americans, that's our perception of Australia's Outback Steakhouse. With the bloom, how accurate is Outback Steakhouse to the food back in your hometown?
I mean, not accurate at all. Very well commercialized and advertised. and promoted as it being Australian, just like Foster's. Yeah. Not Australian at all. So, yeah, I guess this is a good marketing ploy.
Yeah. Are you excited to get back home and to be with family and be around things that are more familiar, I guess?
Yeah, definitely. It's always something when I go back every year, and then going back when I'm there, it's like, oh, like I missed this, you know, like these things. And when I'm in America, like having a great time, like don't really think about it, but it's, yeah, it is when I go back, I'm like, oh, it's good to be back. So
how was, you know, you came in after, you know, big changeover this year for the Mountaineer fans and player and team with new coaching and coaching staff. What was it like working with Coach Brown after, you know, compared to working with some of the other coaching staff at LSU?
Yeah, really good. Coach Brown's very attention to detail and, you know, emphasized special teams very highly and in particular punt. Not that LSU didn't, but like, you know, just his schemes were different. You know, he got more gunners out in coverage with how we aligned the snap and everything. So it was really cool to, you know, just to work with him. And then they kind of took on things that I could do with the ball and, you know, incorporate that. So, they, you know, the rolling out punt and stuff like that. So really cool to work with.
Well, awesome, man. Congratulations on a great season. Your numbers were awesome this year, and, you know, we wish you the best. We hope to see you. One thing you'll learn, if you haven't already, one thing you'll learn about Mountaineer fans is we are dedicated to our players after you leave. So if you go and if you go back and play Aussie rules, or if you go kick in the CFL, we'll be fans. You'll be WVU people there. So
yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, we wish you the best of luck, man. Have safe travels back home, and thanks for all your hard work this year, and thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. I appreciate you taking the time, and have safe travels back, all right?
All right. Thank you so much.
It was a great time talking with Josh. Pretty cool, guys. Super nice guy. So,
blimey. It was magnificent, mate.
That's very bad. That's
yeah, that's more Cockney.
That sounds like he's from a Dickens novel,
yes,
not from Australia.
Exactly.
You there, what time is it? You the poulterer. You know the one on the corner.
Well, you know, and I'm sure he gets it like all the time from other players and, you know, and people like about his accent. I thought asking him though about the West Virginia accent versus, you know, the Louisiana accent.
Yeah, I'm sure he was probably like, really, guys, you're making fun of my accent here? Yeah. Like, really? Well, is that what we're doing?
And I thought that was just because the fact that, I mean, if there's anywhere else in the country sometimes that has thicker accents that's harder to understand outside of Appalachia, it would be, would definitely be Louisiana. I mean, can you imagine? We're trying to play for Coach O. Like,
yeah.
What are you doing?
Are you going to come down to Louisiana?
You're going to come down here to Louisiana?
Come down here to Louisiana, down in the bayou.
Eat them crawfish.
Pass me to get them ball there, yeah.
It's a pretty interesting trek for him, too, because, I mean, playing for Les Miles and in that program, and then coming up our way, I mean, that's pretty cool. He got a few years of you know, two power conferences, two teams competing, you know, in two major conferences. That's a pretty cool experience for him.
Well, and also just the coaches that he's, you know, played for. You know, he went through that big coaching change at LSU between Les Miles and Ogeron, and then coming up here and under Coach Brown. It's definitely interesting.
LSU have a translator on staff?
For Coach Ogeron, they have to. They get Ogeron, like, they have to.
Man,
one thing I learned though, Guido, from I mean, among other things, but one thing that just really,
I know what it was. It was that Country Club Bakery pepperoni rolls are the best pepperoni rolls in West Virginia.
Actually, it was not. We already knew that though, right? But I
knew that.
I did not know that.
I'm still. What do they serve in the Coliseum?
Chico's
Bakery.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm a little bit partial to those still after my basketball game.
I like my pepperoni sliced. Don't give me these pillars of pepperoni.
You don't like the sticks. You like the slice.
No, you get cheated.
There are some people who like the ground pepperoni too, though, man.
You might as well just stick a Slim Jim in a dinner roll.
Snap into a pepperoni roll.
I'm surprised it took him that long to have a pepperoni roll. I mean,
he's been in, honestly,
for 4 or 5 months. I mean,
someone take the poor guy and get him a pepperoni roll already.
Jesus, yeah, really. Come on.
But no, so, what I was going to say, the thing I learned, and maybe you guys already knew this, but I didn't realize there was that kind of that pipeline for Australian kickers, the program that he talked about being in that, you know, helped him find, you know, programs that were interested and those things. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I guess Pro Kick Australia has been around for, I mean, it's not, I don't think it's been around terribly long, but it started off small, and I guess now Pro Kick has like 50 guys that are kicking in it that, the, you know, come over. And that's why you, I think you've seen that influx of Australian players, punters.
What did he say? He came across 5 or 6 throughout the season or something
like
that?
Yeah, he said he came across 5, because, you know, Jordy Sandy was kicking at TCU, and he's another guy who's like in his mid 20s kicking, you know, in college football. It's sort of, and I think a lot of it is the same situation where you get these guys who, you know, probably play Aussie rules professionally or semi-pro for a couple of years over there. And that's a, you talk about a sport that's tough on your body. I mean, we talk about football. I mean, these guys are basically playing football without pads, running around, running into each other.
I was just saying, so you said mid-20s, so you're saying there's a chance for me.
No, there's no chance for you. There's no, you're going to go to Australia, go to Pro Kick, learn how to kick.
And then come back
as a 42-year-old.
There was a chance for you 15 years ago.
You still have some eligibility, right?
Yeah. I've not used any of my years yet.
But I was going to say that I think it, so, you know, you were talking to him about, you know, quote unquote, coming in hot. I mean, he literally came in, what, right at, in camp? I mean,
yeah,
so like it's just interesting how that Pro Kick program works to actually find placement for those guys, even up to the last minute. That's just interesting.
Well, and I kind of think what happened there with that particular situation was, is I think Pro Kick, I think the guy who was supposed to kick this year was an Australian guy coming from Pro Kick who decided right at the beginning of camp that he wasn't going to come to WVU and kick. So that's, he true, backed out, and I think that that's right. That's what happened.
Yeah.
And so I think the guy who runs Pro Kick called up, and just, that's when he started kind of running around and trying to get somebody.
So listen, you know, we got this guy. We got a couple of these guys. How does Groudon sound to you? Like, he's like a used car salesman.
What's it going to take for me to get you into this left footer?
You know, it was funny. You know what the question that I liked? I asked him about the left foot, right foot thing. And yeah, when he says, he kind of like nonchalantly, he's like, yeah, I focus on my left foot. But like nonchalantly, he says, yeah, but you know, if I had to kick right foot, I could probably like 30 or 40 yards.
And he's like, I could still do this awesome thing with my other foot, my off foot, if you need me to. Right.
I mean, I don't want to toot my own horn, but I will. I think I could, left or right foot.
I don't think you could. I would venture to guess that you could not kick a football left or right footed more than 25, 30 yards.
I will second that.
I would say right foot, maybe 30 yards. Left foot, I would laugh if you didn't
listen.
Whenever I kick something left footed, it looks like if my right foot were asleep and I kicked something with it. That's what my left foot kicking something looks like.
I'm actually better with the left than the right.
Really?
So you're saying you're amphibious.
All right. You're amphibious. So what did you guys think about the fact that, I think it was kind of news that he's looking at CFL, maybe going to the CFL and playing.
Yeah, that's interesting that he would talk about that. I mean, that would be an awesome way to continue on and play professionally. Or, I mean, he also talked about going back home and playing professionally too, right? So...
Well, yeah, I think he's kind of saying that he's not going to go back to Australian rules football anytime soon. But I mean, it's, you know, he said he's going to go back and train with Pro Kick again and try to maybe try out for CFL. So that could be interesting. Maybe somebody could talk to XFL, could see him in the XFL.
I mean, I'll be honest, like, I don't imagine there's much difference between a guy that kicks in the CFL as opposed to a guy that kicks in the NFL. So I would imagine if he can make it in the CFL, he certainly could end up being on somebody's roster in the NFL at some point too. Because
I mean, I can see a guy like Groudon helping you win an Anastuckus.
Yeah, get that CFL Anastuckus award.
They go through kickers. A lot of teams go through kickers all the time. Where you hear, they signed a guy from the practice squad, or they just picked this guy up who hadn't kicked a ball since he was in middle school.
Scoot, he also talked about that play against Oklahoma, the fake punt pass. He's been practicing that for 5 years. He's been practicing doing that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, he said he was excited to finally get the opportunity. It looks like, you know, it's probably something that they work on in practice that they're like, we're never going to actually pull the trigger on this. And then it's like, holy crap, we're actually going to do this.
He's got a great QB rating.
Can you imagine the adrenaline?
Yeah.
Adrenaline going through him at that time when he knows it's actually being called.
Yeah, trying to keep it inconspicuous and not, you know, make it obvious you're getting ready to do something.
I wanted to ask him, but I just felt like maybe it was a little out of place. I wanted to ask him why he threw it regular football style versus doing like the Australian where they like they
oh,
like
that would have been awesome. They like, where they spin it and like granny spin. Yeah, granny. That'd be awesome.
You do that? You can do that, right?
That's a technique, I guess. Yeah, I mean, they do that. It's no different than doing an option, kind of. So, how awesome would that have been?
Big 12 so. Refs don't get anything else right. I don't think they would have called him if it's not allowed. So,
true.
I'd say
true.
You could do it.
I think you were. I mean, he was a good sport about your Outback Steakhouse question too. I mean,
full disclosure here. That question was 100% Scoot. That was from the mind of Scoot.
I don't think anyone even...
I wanted to dive deeper. I wanted to get a little deeper dive into the brown bread. Like, I want to know if that's what they do in Australia.
Or bloomin' onions. You wanted to know...
Yeah, before we do those interviews, you know, I ask you guys for questions. And Scoot sends me... You know, Johnson asks a couple of football questions and things. Scoot sends me a question, literally sends me a question of, like, why is the bread brown at Outback Steakhouse? I just don't think Josh Crown's going to know the answer to that, Scoot. I don't think that's going to be on his wheelhouse. I mean,
I'm just asking what people want to know.
Like, why does Foster's come in that big can?
Like, listen, we can talk football all we want, but I have a closer connection to Outback Steakhouse than I do getting on a football field.
Let me ask you this. Right, I hear you. Let me ask you this. This is true. I feel like in West Virginia, I don't know, this might be true for other collegiate teams, but I feel like more so for WVU. Why is it that we get these kickers that have these, like, pretty awesome personalities? You know, we had Boomstash a couple years ago, obviously McAfee.
We do, like, have a history of that. Yeah, we do.
We have a history of these guys who have these, like, very outgoing sort of, you know, fun loving personality. Is that just that position? Like, are all kickers just like, it's such a mental part, like, it's just,
yeah, do you think it's just the nature of the specialist position that you get these you know, charismatic guys?
It's not even just kickers though. I mean, look at what's the long snapper for WVU,
Rex Sunahara. Yeah
Sunahara, who's by the way, I didn't know this until this week, Rex Sunahara, only WVU player this year that is on Mel Kiper's big board, in case you're wondering. He's the number four. He's on Mel Kiper. He's like number four for long snappers.
How's he on Mel Kiper's board? He's not even on my board. How do I not know about this poor guy? That's on me then. That's on me.
Get him on your board. Do you have a board?
I feel like I need a board.
You don't need a board. Nobody's going to look at your board.
I would like to have a board. Listen, come April, I want to see the board.
Okay. So, but seriously though, the specialists, they all get this personality.
How about
crazy?
The nickname Boomstash.
Boomstash.
Like, that's a ridiculous nickname.
That was a play on Boomstick. Like, he had to go with something.
I really want this Casey Legg kid to start kicking. I don't know what his personality is like, but he's got the perfect name for a kicker. Casey Legg.
So, like, that'd be like calling you Glasses Mouth because you talk and you wear glasses. Like, come on. Like,
Glasses Mouth.
It would not be like that.
Oh, a little bit like, man, that. What goes through your head sometimes just blows my mind.
I guess it would be mouth. You're right. You guys are right. It would be mouth glasses.
It'll be cool, though, to see if Josh goes the CFL route, though, because I'd be interested to tune in and follow him. We've had a couple other guys go the CFL route, but that's cool.
I'd like him to try to learn a new accent in French Canadian. I'd like him to have to deal with a French Canadian coach.
That would be tough.
Well, like, I feel like he's run the gauntlet if that happens.
I kind of feel like he's kind of got that, you know, in a way. But no, I think like just a regular Canadian accent, like a coach that's going, you know, you got to get over there. We have to follow the process.
This is going
to
sound a little naive, I guess. I imagine, like, in the CFL? Are we talking mostly Canadian guys coaching, or are they Americans?
No, they're mostly you get. I think you get a lot of spillover from American football.
So you don't think we have Canadian guys doing all?
I'm sure there are Canadian guys coaching.
I'm sure. I don't know that I ever really thought about it too hard. But
what's the difference, anyways? I mean,
what's the best Canadian football college team?
Do they play college football in Canada?
They have to, right? Canada?
Do they play college football in Canada?
Like, that's a good question, right?
I don't know.
Is there an SEC of Canada? I mean, obviously, they wouldn't be on the Southeast Coast because there is no Southeast Coast of Canada. Would it be the NEC, the Northeast Coast?
Would it be the Saskatchewan?
I don't know why that's so funny to me, but it's hilarious.
The Eastern Saskatchewan Conference.
What would the SEC be? It'd be like Toronto and
Hamilton. There's no coast. It would have
Kingston.
To just be
no,
the
yeah, but I mean just
the SEB, the Southeastern Border.
Skewed, it would be like SEB. It just means more, eh?
Oh man,
it just means more in the SEB.
Now, if you were looking at the standings and you had two teams that were tied, would they be side by each?
Oh my gosh, how do we get there?
So guys? Anyway, Josh Groud.
Josh Groud, thanks for coming on the show, Josh. it was awesome. It was pretty cool though. It's nice to see people, you know, coming on the show, obviously, and talking to us. But it's also nice to connect with some of these guys. I mean, I think sometimes we forget, you know, when we see them play, and we've gone all year. And honestly, of all of the players on the team, his name might have been called the most this season of any player, because he had a lot of plays out there more than the average. I think he ended up with
he was definitely called upon for his services.
Yeah, I mean he had more than average. I think I looked at his career stats, and at LSU the most punts he ever had was 57. That was his freshman year, 2016. He had 57 punts. This year he had 68 punts this year, so you know, another 10 punts on top of that. So well, listen, let's take a break, guys. Thanks for Josh for coming on. We're going to hear a little bit from our sponsor, Vortec Knives, and then we're going to come back and talk a little bit of basketball. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Got Your Ears On. Vortec Knives is a West Virginia owned and operated company specializing in high quality steel, fast opening, everyday carrying knives. If you go to VortecKnives.com today and use the code GYEO, you get a 25% discount on your entire order. That's Vortec, V-O-R-T-E-K, Knives.com. A West Virginia-owned and operated company specializing in fast-opening, high-quality, everyday carry knives. Vortec Knives.
This is Rex Shinohara. You're listening to Got Your Ears On.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Got Your Ears On. Guido here with you. I got Rex Shinohara, long snapper for WVU this year, and kind of taking off. Rex, thanks for joining us. Appreciate you coming on the show.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me on, and I really appreciate it.
My son's super excited. I was explaining to him before we got on what a long snapper was, and he was like all of a sudden doing practice snaps for like an hour. So
I know. I saw that video you put on Twitter. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, man. So tell us a little bit. How did you get into long snapping? Like, how does one get into that?
Yeah, so, you know, when my dad was the head coach at Cincinnati for volleyball, and when I was, you know, 10 years old or so, I went to, you know, just a football camp down there in Cincinnati, and there was a guy, you know, kind of was off to the side. No one was really going over to his his little area, and he was it was the long snapper, and I went over and I was like, oh, this kind of looks pretty cool, and he showed me how to do it and how what it was, and I was like, oh, this seems pretty fun. It seems like it could be, like, you know, something cool. And you know, I was, you know, I just did it kind of ever since. I never really thought of it much as a profession or anything, you know, up until, you know, last year or anything, but it's been, you know, but it's been great.
Well, yeah, and you know, people think about long snappers a lot of times about, you know, a true specialist, like a punter, like a kicker, a true specialist. But you kind of take it to the next level. I mean, Neil Brown this year even kind of called you out a little bit, talking about how you like to run downfield on coverage. You don't mess around.
Oh, no, I love to get in on tackles, get in on, you know, play football. You know, a lot of kids, you know, they just want to be a specialist, or, you know, just a kicker, just a punter, just a long snapper. But, you know, I think something that Coach Brown did for us was, you know, everyone in our unit and in our position group, they're football players. They want to get down. They want to make tackles. I mean, Evan made tackles this year. Josh, you know, ran down and was trying to get on anything he could. Coach Brown makes a big emphasis on that for us, and that's something that we really take pride in.
Yeah, that JMU game, you had two tackles, man. That was pretty cool. I gave Josh a hard time because, you know, with all the Aussie rules stuff, you know, you think he'd be tackling people left and right, but not so much, huh?
I guess not. You know, it's good when Josh puts it up there for, you know, 4 or 5 seconds. We get to run down there, and they call a fair catch every time. So he didn't even have to do that.
Do you guys ever, tell him, hey, don't hang one so much? Like, we're getting so winded, we have to run so much to get down the field?
Oh, no. We told him just to, we were asking him to shank one once just so we could see if he could tackle. He wouldn't do it.
Yeah. So, speaking of him, you know, a little different this year. He's, you know, left-footed punter. I know you got to kind of, you know, kind of snap towards the left hip a little bit more. But he also kind of likes to be at an angle, too. Is that how has that changed this year for you?
So that was more of a Coach Brown thing where he was, you know, that's his punt scheme. You know, we adapted to it, and it was fine and everything. But, you know, Josh is great. You guys had him on the show. He's a great guy. And, you know, he's going to do well in anything that he does. But, you know, he came in right after you know, during camp, and it was an automatic click. He fit right in with the guys, and he fit, you know, right in on this football team, and it was a pleasure to have him around.
Yeah, he seemed like an awesome guy. Saw a video that you posted last summer where you guys, there was a bunch of long snappers on Twitter doing trick shots. How, what were you guys doing? I forget what it was.
Yeah, the bottle cap challenge.
Yeah, right, the bottle cap challenge. Yeah, you guys were all doing those sort of trick shots. How often do you try trick shots long snapping?
Oh, just, you know, whenever we can, really. Whenever we have an opportunity, like, you see some guys, like, trying to, you know, there. Once we had one of our, like, competitions after a fall practice was, we did horse, but, you know, and everyone was trying to throw the ball into the hoop, and, you know, I pulled over Kyle and Jake. I'm like, I thought we could probably make it between our legs more than these guys can probably make it throwing. And turns out we did. But it was, but we try to do it whenever we can. You know, it's important to stay loose and to have fun and to, you know, try to make all these things as, you know, it's college football. You try to make it as fun as possible.
Exactly, man. Prior to coming to WVU, you were sort of a multi-sport guy. In high school, you played, what, three sports? You were football, baseball, and basketball, right? And then you went to URI, and you ended up playing basketball and football there. What's it like being a multi-sport athlete on the collegiate level?
Oh, it was great. It's, you know, you get to travel around, you know, to play in some of the, like, you know, some great stadiums and some great teams. I mean, I went and played Syracuse my first college game, you know, 18 years old, starting as a true freshman. And, you know, and then you go down, and you know, for football, that was for football, and then you go to BCU and you play in the Cintas Center, the Civic Center, whatever that is, you know, one of the craziest places you can play. You play Providence, Nebraska, you know, powers like that. And then you got, you know, teams in the A-10, Dayton, Richmond, you know, all those teams which are no slouches. And they're, I mean, some of those games are, you know, they're hostile environments. And
right.
It was a great time.
We used to be in the A-10 a long time ago, but yeah, Coach Hurley, you know, good coach there at URI, that basketball program. Did you ever consider staying with basketball and forgetting about football, or was there ever that consideration?
There was a time where I thought about that because, you know, basketball was my first love. I love playing basketball. I can play basketball for, you know, hours on end, and it's something that, you know, I love to do. But I went and I asked Coach earlier, like, hey, you know, do you think you guys would be able to help me out just a little bit with the, you know, on the scholarship side if I wanted to stay? Because and they were like, you know, they can't mix up scholarships. They can't, you know, give 1 year or 2 years or something like that. And he's like, you know, and he's like, Rex, we love to have you, but we, you know, I think you should go and, you know, no hard feelings if you go and, you know, pursue this football career. And so that was kind of the telling of, you know, let's go try and find somewhere where I can go and, you know, get better at what I do and try to be the best at it.
Right. And then obviously, you know, you have a connection with, you had a connection with the university coming anyways with your dad being a coach for the volleyball team there. Coming to Morgantown though, did you ever think about, you know, maybe hitting up Coach Huggins, seeing if you could walk on 13th man kind of thing?
Well, really before I went to Rhode Island, my original plan was to come walk on for basketball here.
Really?
Yeah. I was committed to play basketball for Coach Huggins for, you know, 2 weeks until I got a call to go up to Rhode Island and play both on a half scholarship for football. And then I was like, well, you know, probably should help out my parents a little bit. And then I decided to do that. But when I got back to Morgantown, I really didn't think about it. I was like, you know, if I'm going to be here, I might as well put all of my, you know, effort and ability into this one thing to try to be, you know, as good as I can at it.
Right. And your brother plays, RJ, he plays collegiately as well, was at Fairmont State, and he's transferred from there. But who wins one-on-one between you and him?
Well, I've yet to lose a game in the backyard. We'll leave it there, and he'll tell you differently. But, you know, RJ's a great player. He's down at Nova Southeastern right now, which is in Fort Lauderdale. They're probably the top team in Division II right now. I mean, they beat everyone, and he starts down there as a redshirt freshman. He's doing really, really well, and I'm super proud of him.
That's awesome. That's awesome, man. And you come from a pretty athletic family. I mean, your dad played volleyball collegiately, and then was the U.S. coach. Your brother plays basketball. Does anybody else in the family play sports?
Oh yeah, you know, my great grandfather, he played football at Syracuse. My grandfather, my great uncle, they both played football at Cincinnati. Both my uncles played football at Youngstown State for Coach Tressel, won national championships. And then my mom was a volleyball player at the University of Cincinnati, and she, you know, she had the record for digs there, and, you know, just a real high standard to live up to when you come from my family. And even my sister is the first person in my family to start a varsity sport as a freshman. So,
wow.
It's been a pretty long line of people that have played sports around our household.
Hey, listen, you're doing great. Speaking of which, last year Neil Brown actually said this in a press conference too. You kind of bulked up in the last year. You changed your diet, added some weight. Was that a regimen of pepperoni rolls, or what was that? How did that happen?
Well, it was just trying to eat as much as I possibly could. You know, doing that and you know, people like Mike Joseph, they can get you up to, you know, you put the work in the weight room. Mike's the best in the country, and he'll, you know, you put your mind to it there, he's gonna make sure that you're right, and, you know, the weight's right and everything.
Yeah, Mike and I went to high school together. He's an intense guy. He's always been an intense guy. So
he's great.
So moving on in your career, you recently signed with Logan Brown Sports as a representative, trying to continue your career professionally in the next couple of years. Notice though, when you signed your agreement with him on social media, there was a little Critters gummy vitamins bottle there when you were signing. Is that part of the daily vitamin regimen?
It actually isn't. So we had we had some people come over to our house because, you know, it was a big moment for, you know, my family and for my friends back in Cleveland and everything. So they all came over, and, you know, we were having a good time celebrating and stuff. And when I was like, oh crap, I forgot I have to get this in today. And, we kind of like threw it all together, and, you know, I just completely forgot they were there. but since that picture, I just was like, yeah, maybe. You guys should just try these.
Sponsorship opportunity, man. Like, that's where you.
Oh, I'd love for that.
Yeah, there you go.
That would be great. Yeah, but I've been taking them every day since. So
awesome.
We'll see if I'm healthier next couple of weeks because of it.
What's the what's sort of your training regimen between here and sort of NFL draft, NFL camp, that sort of time frame?
So I was just up in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, training with a group called Special Teams U, and they train long snappers. And it's, you know, I was up there for 3 days training with the guy that's up there, and he was a former NFL long snapper by the name of Kyle Stelter. And so I was up there, and then I go back to, we're actually, I'm sitting here with my girlfriend. We're in the, the Newark airport right now waiting to catch a flight home from Newark to Cleveland. So we're going back. Then after that, we're going back to school. And then I leave next weekend to go play in the NFLPA game, which is out in Pasadena at the Rose Bowl. And then after that, so we play on Sunday. That Tuesday, I fly to Hawaii to play in the Hula Bowl, which is another college all-star game. And then after that, I go back to Morgantown, and I'm there for 4 or 5 weeks until pro day. And then I'll just be there until, you know, God willing, I get picked up by a team, and we go from there.
Yeah, I mean, pretty exciting sort of moment for you, I would guess. I mean, you know, everybody talks about Mel Kiper and Mel Kiper's big board and all of that during all this. He has you as the number three long snapper in the country right now coming into the NFL. How exciting is that?
That's great. I mean, that was, you know, I think you guys were the first. You guys, when I saw that on your guys' Twitter, I was like, oh, like it's really, really cool. But, you know, got to keep your head down and got to keep working. You know, those are, you know, being number three is really great, but, you know, they don't draft three long snappers every year. They don't, you know, sometimes three long snappers don't even get put into the league right. Every year. So we got to, you know, that's a great recognition, and that's a great thing to be, you know, have, you know, a little pat on the back. But, you know, it doesn't, we got to make sure that I'm, you know, the best I can be going into these games and going into rookie minicamps, hopefully.
Are you guys looking at any other pro options other than the NFL, CFL, XFL, whatever it might be?
I've told everyone that I'll play football anywhere. I know Tyler Howard still plays in Japan. I'll play there. I'll play in the CFL. I'll play in the XFL. You know, if the UFL was still around, I'd play there.
Yeah.
I just want to play football.
Yeah, no, it's an exciting time for you, man. We're really excited for you here. And, you know, we wish you the best kind of moving forward and stay in touch with us. We'd love to have you back on, and we appreciate you spending the time with us today, man.
Wonderful. Thanks a lot for having me on. I really appreciate it. It's been fun.
All right, guys, that was a pretty awesome interview with Rex. Kind of excited for him and like everything that's going on. The two collegiate All-Star games that he's playing.
Yeah, how great is that? That's awesome.
It's amazing going out to the Rose Bowl for the NFLPA one and then playing out in Hawaii for the Hula Bowl. Like that's pretty awesome for him. And how nice, cool of a guy he was. I was super excited that he joined us.
Super nice for him to spend some time. And then now that I know that, because I'm never quite sure who from WVU is playing in those types of games, I'm excited to follow up and see how things go. Wish him best of luck.
You got to look at those. You got to watch those punt coverages. See if he goes running down the field. Scoot, I never knew, and you're sort of like the resident basketball aficionado of the three of us. I didn't know that he was going to walk on for Huggins before he went to URI.
I was unaware of that. I was unaware of that as well. I feel like Rex is like a trivia question answer in so many different categories. Yeah. Like, you think about it. Name a football player who played basketball in the Carrier Dome. Right, like, right. What in the world? Like, what? How? Like, who? Like,
yeah, that's true.
Maybe Jarrett Brown? Maybe? I don't even know. Like, would he? I don't know. But, like, that's pretty crazy. What it tells me though is that maybe I missed my calling. I like to think I'm a standout basketball player. Kind of taller. I could maybe snap a football or two. I did that in intramurals. Intramurals, I was a very good center.
You're only an inch or two shorter than Rex. You probably could have snapped a football or two.
Yeah. I mean, I never even tried it, though. Like, I never even thought, hey, you know what? This is a thing that I should try doing.
Well, you've got – listen, Coach Brown obviously is probably looking for a long snapper. You've got a couple years of eligibility.
You've still got eligibility left.
I do. I could be a grad transfer. I can find another master's program to jump into. That would be amazing.
Do
you think I'd be
– I think you should try it. I definitely think you should.
I've put on some weight since back in my basketball days, so I feel like I could stand the rush. You know, I feel like I could, as long as it's not somebody like a Phil Loadout. Remember that guy from Oklahoma? He's like 6'9", 400 pounds. Now he's in the NFL.
Yeah, you'd have a hard time.
I would have a tough time with that kind of guy. Yeah.
He had a tough time.
But I was I was impressed. I'm also impressed that I think maybe you're the one that kind of clued him in on Mel Kiper's big board.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was sort of stoked about that too, that I had tweeted that out a couple of weeks ago. And then what's funny is Mel Kiper just updated his big board, his player rankings, and he's still listed number 3. I think he might have actually moved up. I think he might have been 4 and moved to 3. Either way, I mean, it's still pretty awesome. I think it's awesome for him. I mean,
no, it's great.
He's number 1 on my big board.
He's number 1 on our big board. That's right.
Yeah.
Because we did the got your ears on big
my
board.
My big board's not very big, so he's he's probably going to be stuck there for a long time.
It's
so.
The
he's
got your
be number one up there for a while.
It's the got your ears on relatively large board, is what you're saying.
Not so small board.
I really, really, really would love to see him play on Sundays in the NFL and get to be a long snapper. But there's a little part of me that's like, maybe like him and Josh can get on the same CFL team.
Now that now you're cooking.
And then all of a sudden, I'm like a Montreal Alouettes,
yes,
like
that's
huge
right.
Montreal
I'm all
Alouettes
in.
Fan.
Yeah, that's all it yeah. takes,
hey,
really.
And the Alouettes have a former Mountaineer on the roster, that I, at least the one that I know of, in Mario Alford. So that's
yeah.
that would be pretty neat.
It'd be like the Mountaineers North. We yes. might start calling them the Montreal Mountaineers if that happens.
Yeah, we are the North.
I really think the other thing, guys, that we need to work on as a social media presence that we are is getting Little Critters to pick up Rex as a sponsor.
Yeah, I feel like it's a no-brainer. I mean, it's right there for the taking, right?
What other celebrity do they have right now?
I can't imagine
right?
another athlete that is chowing down on the Little Critters as much.
Yeah,
as
come on, Little Critters, make it happen. Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, you got to get out there. No, it was really great to have him on the show. Super excited for him, and we'll keep up with him as he moves on in his career. So, don't forget, guys, we talk about it all the time, but don't forget, check us out on Twitter. It's a good place to kind of see what we're talking about. At Got Your Ears. Listen, we have breaking news apparently.
Yeah.
Right?
Who knew?
Who knew? I mean, I read Mel Kiper's article 3 days after it came out and tweeted it, and it was breaking news. So, so listen, guys, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. Don't forget, check us out online at Got Your Ears on Twitter. GotYourEarsOn.com is our website. You can subscribe on iTunes and Google Play and Player FM and a bunch of other
Spotify, TuneFM, right in the website,
all over the place. So check us out. We appreciate it. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to Got Your Ears On.